Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about the anti-development movements that are becoming increasingly organized in communities across North America. The objection of these groups seems to be centered around additional noise, traffic, and congestion that can result from additional people moving into an area. They believe the only solution is to prevent more people from coming into the area. Some have become so militant, they use all legal means available to object to development applications and even building permits. That's right, in some jurisdictions, it's possible to object to a project that's fully compliant with zoning at the time of building permit. We were made aware of one such case this past week where community groups are monitoring the submittal of building applications and then launching an appeal of the building permit on the last day that an appeal is legally permissible under the statute. This is a tactic that's designed to inflict maximum pain on the property owner who has spent 100% of the funds required to invest in the pre-construction phase. The goal of the appeal is not necessarily to cause the project to be disqualified on the merits of the actual development proposal. The goal is to use the legal process to frustrate the developer and inflict financial pain on the developer with the hopes they will voluntarily abandon the project as a result of the delays. Now, the hypocrisy of these objections should be clear. The very people who are enjoying living currently in the community, sending their kids to school, shopping at the grocery store, exercising at the gym, and ride their bike in the park, are only able to do so as a result of many development applications taking considerable financial risk to bring those amenities to the community. Growth in a community happens in a continuum. Every single community started out as a hamlet with a couple of houses clustered together. Then more homes would be built in close proximity, and some would have been the result of subdivision of land within a family through generations. So who gets to impose their will on the rest of the community to say that growth should stop? Who gets to impose their will on property owners that have rightly purchased title to a property that is already zoned for specific uses? And unless the zoning of a property specifically prohibits construction or puts severe limits on construction, like, say, agricultural zoning or rural zoning, or maybe even a development reserved for future development, land that is owned and zoned should be able to support new construction within the confines of the approved zoning. It's the job of the building department to ensure that the specific constraints on construction are met. That could include municipal services, public road access, and so on. Well, sadly, these are examples of community pressure being brought to bear on the development process that has resulted in dramatic overreach. The most famous of cases have happened in places like New York City and San Francisco. In the case of New York City, a developer was sued in court, and they had already constructed floors. They were being asked to remove floors from an already permitted tower. The judge ordered the removal of 20 floors from a 52-story building located at 200 Amsterdam Avenue. In San Francisco, a development project was blocked by local citizens who wanted to protect a local laundromat that had previously gone out of business. Now, this was not a historic landmark. It was a bankrupt laundromat. There was no viable business at that location, yet somehow local citizens managed to convince a judge that preserving a defunct laundromat was in the community's interest above building additional housing. These citizens' groups were arguing that the new development was pushing people out of their homes. Well, last time I looked, nobody lived in the laundromat. The net result is that the vast majority of these cases are thrown out. The ones that make headlines are the ones like the San Francisco laundromat. The cases that went forward after a year of procedural delay and hundreds of thousands in legal costs and maybe even millions in carrying costs, they don't make the news. Some communities have statutory appeal processes embedded in their bylaws, and we're changing our development due diligence process to include an analysis of the local bylaws to know whether the local code has those provisions that could result in these types of delays. Our process is also being strengthened to include a review of cases in the community for the types of filibusters that are not legitimate community input, but only serve to frustrate developers. The local planning consultants that we engage on every project need to provide the history of these types of obstructions. Now, I understand they don't want to be answering these types of questions, because if developers are dissuaded from doing projects, then those very consultants are out of a job. But these appeal obstructions are a matter of public record, which in fact our team can investigate independently. And so can you. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.